Okay, Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. We are at Siman Tav Kuf Pei Vav. We are starting today with Seif Yurchet. Im Natan Zahav, this is a little bit of a continuation where we were speaking before about the shofar. Im Natan Zahav al Ove Hashofar Bitzad Harachav. If you put some gold around the shofar where it gets wide, Hainu Hosif Alav. Kol shehu, which means it's not just being wrapped around the circumference, you're adding to the shofar. So then, upaso, that would be paso. Okay? Because you see the end of the sound of the shofar is now going through the zahav, and it has to only be going through a kosher shofar. Okay. Yotet, hirchik et shofar, you hold the shofar, when you blow into it, you don't put it to your lips. You hold it, I don't know, a little bit far away from, it's not touching. And then you blow into the shofar without it touching your lips. And you make the sound. Paso, you're not yotze. Because the lips must be attached to this shofar. Okay. Here's, okay. Mishnah Berurah quotes a remez or a siman. El chikecha shofar from Hosea Chet. Okay. And one should blow again if that's how they blew it. It didn't work. And then it's a machloket if you say a new bracha or not. Okay. Mishnah Berurah says better not to say a new bracha, but it depends.
I want to know how somebody can blow a shofar like that.
Kaf. Well, see, if a sound comes out, then it works because kola kolo would be kosher, except it has to be blown in a kosher fashion. Okay, kaf. Natan shofar. Latoch shofar. Now you're able to slip in one shofar into another shofar. So im apinimi odef alachitz al mishnei tzedav. If the one that you're blowing into, which generally would only be kosher if it's the inner one. So the inner one is sticking out on both ends, where you blow into and where the sound comes out of. So then it'd be vinatana pnimi befi v'takabo, and you put your lips on the inner one, and then you blow kasher, no problem, because Chazal say it's based on a drasha, but it says it has to be one shofar. You could only blow using one shofar at a time, or at least the shofar that you're blowing could only be one shofar. Can't okay, if it's a So therefore, if the outer one would be longer on either end, then it wouldn't be good enough because it's going to be going through both. Haga, veli nir e, dafil eno bolet bitzad arachav, rak shave lachitzon. Okay, so let's say the part that the Rama says, you can be a little bit more meiko. You can, as long as the part that you blow, hoel u bolet litzad hapeh, vitaka bapnimi yatza. So he says, as long as it sticks out where you put your mouth, so then your lips are only on the inner shofar, but when it ends, it doesn't stick out, it's exactly flush, then it would be kosher. Because the sound that comes out is not going through the outer one at all, because it's exactly flush. So it needs to stick out beyond or be exactly flush. And the Taz points out, of course, the Shulchan Aruch agrees with the Ramah, but he says it's very difficult to make sure it's exactly flush, so therefore he says it has to stick out on both sides. But this goes back to what we previously learned. Even though you're having one within the other, so the outer one is considered a covering that's pasul, because it's the second shofar. And so therefore, this only is a kosher, not only if it sticks out on both ends, but now that you put it inside a different shofar, it doesn't affect the sound. Ve'im lav, but if it affects the sound, pasul. Okay, because then the sound of the second shofar changes it, and it's as if it's something else, and it's or okay, or similar halacha as if it's something else. Kaf aleph.
But if you're blowing the outer one, if say the outer one is longer than the inner one, just have an extra shofar inside.
So that'd be puzzle. Because it's going to be going through, it's going to be end up using two shofars. Okay, so the only way it's kasher is if the inner one sticks out on both ends. Or at least flush b'dievet. Kaf Aleph. Shofar shel Rosh Hashanah. Okay, now you have a shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Ein mechalin alav yom tov. You have one, but you can't be mechalal yom tov in order to use it. Afilu b'davar sheyesh bo mishum shvut. Even if it's only a shvut, the nisr derabanan. So there, even then, it's aser to use. Okay, because we don't let you do an iser in order to mikayim a mitzvah, and it's okay. Ketzad haya shofar berosh ha'ilan, if you have a shofar on top of a tree, o me'ever anar, or across the river, ve'ein lo shofar elahu, and that's the only shofar that you can get a hold of. Eino ole ba'ilan, you're not allowed to climb the tree, just an iser derabanan. Ve'eino shat al pnei amayim kedei lehavio, and you cannot now take a raft and row yourself across. But v'al yidei eini yehudi mutar, but you are allowed to get a non-Jew, because it's dehavei shvut to shvut. It's a double derabanan. Perush isur amira le'eini yehudi be'iser de'oraita. Humishum shvut. To tell a non-Jew to do nisr d'oraisa is considered one shvut, one nisr d'rabanan. Shamru chazal lishpot mizeh, amir le'ini yehudi, which you can't do. Isr d'rabanan, but if you ask him to do an isr d'rabanan, which is just swimming or taking a raft across the river or climbing a tree, hu shvut to shvut, that's a double shvut, and that would be b'makom mitzvah lo gazru. So if it's in the case of a mitzvah, it's not a problem. Okay, right, we know Chazal can put a siyag in order to avoid, they can make a new halacha to prevent you from doing a mitzvah, because it's a siyag. But they can't tell you just to erase doing a mitzvah unless it's harat shah. But they can tell you, you know, don't be mekayim a mitzvah b'sheva al tase, if it's, they made a siyag. Same would be going outside of a tchum. One cannot go outside of a tchum in order to listen or to go listen, because just walking outside of the tchum is an iser, at least a rabbanan. And also if you have, let's say, a pile of stones or rocks covering your shofar, so then also it's you can't move the normal way of moving, because that'd be an iser muksa, which you can't do in order to get to the shofar. Perhaps you can do it through a kalach or yad. Okay, now the Chayedam has an interesting kula. He says you can have a goy take you across the water. Mutar im agoya virenu, a goy can bring you across the river if the Yisrael doesn't help at all in order to get to the shofar that's across the river. He can put you on a raft and he can row the raft for you. I'm not sure if everyone would agree. I'm just pointing it out. And that may even apply to a car.
That's the foreign Pashtus of the
Shulchanar. Against the Shulchanar? So that means, right. No, the Mara and the Shulchanar. Without the Jew on the raft, you can send a goy to go get it. The Chai Adam is a big Kiddush, and I'll just... Okay.
It's in the
Mahavir. Okay. No? I don't think so. Kav bet. Im ein yehudi shofar michutz atchum, tokin bo. If the non-Jew brings him a shofar from outside the tchum, now you're allowed to use it. Right? Even, doesn't matter how far it is, if a non-Jew brings it for you, you're allowed to use it. And we don't say there's an isser of hana, because again, it's for a mitzvah. For a mitzvah, so you don't call that hana. And there's no problem, right? Even if he brought it specifically for you, yeah, right? So again, it might be asr behana, but for the mitzvah is not hana, so that's not a problem. But if he brought it for you from outside the tchum, can you carry with it in the streets? No, because if the shofar belonged outside the tchum, now if it's brought into the tchum, you can't move it more than its place of dalet amos. So wherever he puts it down, that's where you have to blow. Okay. Anyways, the halachos of tchumin, that's l'chazara. Let's keep reading. Let's say the Ein Yehudi, he made the shofar. Mutar litkoa bo. He made the shofar, So now you're allowed to blow it. Okay. Now, but it can't be. Mr. Boyer just points out a technical thing. It has to be from a ram, from an animal, a ram, whatever, that belonged to the non-Jew. And then on Yom Tov, the case is he would cut it off and turn it into a shofar. So then you can use that. The animal was a muksa, belonged to the non-Jew. Non-Jew's items are not muksa. But if he took a Jewish animal, and it was owned by a Jew, right? He cut off the horns, and then he made it on Yom Tov. Well, the whole animal has a din of muksa. So then you can't blow into it. And whatever is asar on the first day is asar on the second day. We're going to get to those halachas as we go on. Okay. Mm-hmm. Fine. I think that's... Okay. And whatever is... And the Mishnah Berurah just points out, it's pashut. All the stuff that we learned that is asar, it applies... Whatever, it applies to both days equally. There's no difference of halachas from the first day to second day for hilchos shofar. Okay. Let's get to Kaf Gimel. Yachol yitein betocho mayim o yayin letzachzecho. You're allowed to take a shofar on Rosh Hashanah itself, and you're allowed to dip it in water or wine in order to make, I don't know, you want to clean it or you want to just make it better for the sound. And even though it helps it a little bit, that's not called a tikkun mana. You're not really fixing it. It's just, you're allowed to wash dishes on Yom Tov. That's not an issue.
Smell better.
Very good. Aval me raglayim af bechol asar mipnei hakavod. Now, you can't use any liquid. You can't use a liquid that would be a bizayon to the shofar. So me raglayim is an example. And it's similar to use for pitom haketoret. It's the same idea. And it can't be used, whether it's me raglayim mamish, or anything that people call me raglayim, similar, because it's a bizayon, or any liquid that's really... disgusting. That's okay. Okay, let's get to the next halacha. Next siman, tavkuf pei zayin. Dina tokei letoch habor. Now, it's not so common nowadays, these halachos, but it does have some interesting ramifications. So, a person blows let's read the inside, aleph. Hatokeya betoch habor. Person blows a shofar. And the person in the blower, the shofar, is inside a pit, or betocha me'ara, or inside a cave. Now, this case came up because there was times in exile when the Ummah Solam didn't let us blow shofar, so we had to do it in hiding. So that's why this halacha evolved. Okay, the Mishnah Berurah points out, saying too, if it's a base, same halacha, if it's in a basement. I mean, the Gemara also talks about a chavit, a big giant barrel or whatever it is. Anything that's underground and is going to create echoes. And it could be even above ground, depending on the situation. So let's read. O tama omdim betoch habor. So the people who are outside the pit, vehamera, or outside the cave. Betoch habor. If you're blowing inside and you're standing inside, sorry, yatsu, then you're 100% yotze. The assumption is clearly that you heard the sound of the shofar. We're not worried about the echo, and that's simply put the halacha. Ve'ha'omdim bachutz. It's the people who are outside. Im kol shofar shama'u yatsu. So if they're outside. I'm not going to repeat the whole Gemara, but it's just to point out to you, it's a little bit of a difficult sugya to understand the metzias of what exactly is going on. And the Rishonim and the Achronim have a little bit trouble to figure out exactly what's happening. Technically, at what point is it the problem? I'll point out a little bit in a minute. So if you're outside, ve'omdim bachutz im kol shofar shamu, if you know that you heard the kol shofar, the initial natural blast of the shofar from beginning to end, yatsu, you're 100% yotze. V'im kol havara shamu, but if you heard an echo when you're outside, lo yatsu, then you're not going to be yotze. V'chen hatokea letoch havit gedola chayotze v'esotu, if it's a giant barrel, that's where the horn is. Im kol shofar shama, yatsa. If you know that you heard the call of the shofar, you're yotze. V'im kol havara shama, but if you heard the echo, then you're not yotze. Okay. So, no, simply put, if, what does it mean if you heard the kol shofar or the kol havara? It's if you're able to, well, first thing is, everyone knows the kol shofar, that's what you need to hear to be yotze. What's aser about the kol havara, the echo? It's a separate sound that comes later. It's a kol puzzle that everybody agrees with. Now, if you hear a mixture of a sound of the kol shofar and a mixture of the sound of the kol havara, so the Gemara says in Daf Kafchet, you have the two sounds mixed together, so you can't be yotze. Okay? Here, let me give a short little intro, and then we'll continue. Just to backtrack a little bit. So again, we said if you hear the echo, that's a Mishnah and Rosh Hashanah, Gimel Zayin, everyone holds, then you're not yotze. Can't be yotze by just only listening to an echo. That's completely clear. That's what we see from this Mishnah. Everybody agrees. To the best of my knowledge, an echo would suffice for kol havara. Is there another way to interpret it? I'm not sure. Okay. Look, and then regarding everyone agrees that you can blow a shofar at the same time as blowing trumpets. Right? That's also a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, Gimel, where that was the custom in the Beis HaMikdash. You'd have one person blow the shofar in the middle, and another person on each side, two more people, they would blow two chatzotros, right? One on each side, on Rosh Hashanah. Right? And they'll make the shofar last a little longer than chatzotros, not for the sake of the mitzvah, just to show that today the mitzvah of the day is with shofar. Because you need to hear the entire shofar from beginning to end without it being stopped, interrupted. And I mean, we're gonna get to that halacha. And so therefore, at least according to most, and therefore, and part of it is with the chatzotros. So you see, having chatzotros at the same time as the shofar is not a psul. It's not a problem.
Even though the bracha is lishma kol shofar.
Right. But you have to hear the shofar.
But you're hearing both.
That's okay. That's okay. You know, a famous sugya by Megillah and by Hallel, you can have 10 people say it at the same time. And we say it's chaviv, and you're able to pay attention. And Mistama, you're hearing both at the same time, but you're able to hear everything. That's also the question. Do you compare shofar to this or not? But anyways, you see that you can pay attention, and you could be yotzei, and it's not a problem. And over there, by the Beis HaMikdash, they said they have a... Nasmachta from Tehillim bechatzotzros v'kol shofar heri'u lifnei hamelech Hashem. That's in Sadichet Vav. Okay, what happens though if you hear the kol shofar with the kol havara together at the same time? It's a psul. It's a shofar sound that it's a psul. So therefore, let me just backtrack real quick for one thing also. What does it matter if it's you're hearing to the shofar, if the shofar is on the inside and the people standing outside are inside? So the Rush holds, it can't be based on the people's interpretation, what they're thinking that they're hearing. It's a straightforward psak. If you're outside, it's this way. If you're inside, it's this way. One is Aser, one is Paz. One is Yotze, one is not Yotze. But Beis Yotze follows the Rambam and Rashi, the way he explains them. And he says, no, of course it's subjective. And therefore, if the person just has to pay attention, do you think you heard the kol shofar? And do you think you heard the kol of the echo? We'll call it an echo. But certainly an echo would be possible. So that would be, so he explains that really if you're outside, we assume you're hearing the echo, but if you know you're inside, you'll be yotze. And that's the words of the Rambam. If you're outside, it really depends what you think you're hearing. Okay. And that seems to be the halacha, that's the way to interpret the Gemara. So, Pashtus, you see the Gemara says, if you're having both kol shofar and kol havara at the same time, you see that there's a problem. Right? You're ma'arbev the kolos, and you can't be yotze. The Gemara says that in Kafchet. So it seems to be that The reason that the psul, if you're having both at the same time, is because they're very similar sounds. And because the kol shofar and the kol havara are similar sounds, you can't really know which one you're hearing. They're both loud, similar, the loudness is similar, and depending how, you know, you could be closer to the wall, and so therefore you're going to hear first, technically, the sound of the echo. So in Lamaisa, or you're outside really, usually the case is you're outside. But the point is, you don't know which one you're really hearing. So in a case where you're hearing both at the same time, since you can't really know which one you're hearing, we say you're not Yotze. But there's no intrinsic, you know, halacha l'moshe m'sinai, you have two sounds at the same time. Because we know chatzotzos is a kol pasul in your Yotze. But there is another way to possibly understand. I don't know if it fits as well, because the Gemara and all the Rishonim, they don't say that there's this new halacha l'moshe m'sinai of one shofar. But I'll leave it to me that there might be, that might be a way to understand. And the Levush, I started quoting in Dirshu, is, I don't know if it's an asmachta, gzeres akasuf, I don't know. But it says ve'havarta shofar, and from there you see it has to be the sound of one pure shofar. You can't have another impure shofar sound at the same time. It doesn't apply to chatzosos, but it applies to a different sound. But it's a chiddush. I understand. So I think a shofar is certainly chaviv. Everyone comes to hear the shofar.
But you're saying it's not possible in the case of kol havara because.
So it depends. It depends if you can tell. It depends, and that's the words of the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam. Listen, if it's you hear this, you're yotze. If you hear that, you're not yotze. The case in the Gemara where it says you can't have both at the same time is because. That case in the Gemara is you can't hear the difference. It's too hard to tell. So that's important to understand that. And that mostly will explain whatever we need to. Again, halacha l'maisa, there's not so much to take out of this, usually, because we're always indoors. But the Taz has a chumra, the Mishnah Berurah mentions it, that if you're going to listen to the shofar outside the shul, right, the tokeya's inside shul, if you're far away from the window and you're far away from the shul, be careful. You might not be yotze because you might be hearing, I don't know if you want to call it a very soft sound or an echo or something. But it seems to be a chumra of the Taz. Okay. Now, what I want to just point out over here real quick is this is kind of the ikar sugya to listening to sounds through a microphone, hearing aids, phones, I don't know, on the phone, Zoom, whatever it is. So just real bekitzer, everybody holds, all the poskim seem to say, that there's no difference between shofar, tefillah, megillah, if it's a sound of a kol havara, if it's an echo, if it's a new sound, everyone says, you're not yotze. Okay, that's clear. Answering amen, it's like waving the flags in the Beit Knesset of Alexandria, you're not yotze, but you know, like if you know it was done live, but you know it's a new sound, so everyone would say you can answer amen, but that doesn't mean you're yotze. Okay, so if it's an echo, everyone says you're not yotze. Mikrei Kodesh and Chalkas Yaakov, just add a little bit. I don't know if they're the only ones, but it seems to be a minority opinion that make a distinction between shofar and megillah and tefillah. By Megillah and Tefillah, it's enough to hear a mixture. So in other words, they have there's more of a reason to be Mekel according to them, to hear a microphone or a sound on a phone by everything but shofar. Because the Gemara mentioned something about, again, we just learned how it's questionable, but because there's this concept of having a mixed sound, that it's a problem only by, the Gemara only mentions it by shofar, so you see, by shofar, there might be more of a problem, that it needs to be a pure sound of a shofar. Again, it's very questionable, but
there
that's...
No, there was no microphone in those days, so...
Right, but they're comparing that's if you want to compare a microphone to an echo. So that's also... Now...
mediated sound.
Yeah, or a mediated sound. Okay. All right, so it depends how you define the word kol havara. But certainly an echo would be the extreme that makes a pasul. Now, all the poskim that I've seen, nobody makes any distinction whatsoever between the different types of sounds. It doesn't matter if it's analog, digital, wired, wireless. It doesn't matter if it's microphone or hearing aids. All the poskim seem to say it's exactly the same. Even cochlear implants at the end of the day, which it's basically just an electric impulse that's going directly to your nervous system, as opposed to using your ear at all. It's not really using your ear. It's just cochlear implants. So at the end of the day, it seems to be that all the poskim are basically in agreement, almost. Oh, most of them are in agreement, and they don't make any distinction between them. We'll get to the maskan in the end. But there is a machlokas, if it works or not, okay? Again, most don't make a distinction between shofar and megillah. But, who says it's a different sound? So, Rav Shlomo Zalman and Minchas Elazar are the two that say not an echo. Now we're moving to all these other hearing aids and all these other concepts. They would hold it's a different sound. Because in order for you to be yotze, hearing anything, it must be through the normal ways of sound waves. Once you're converting the sound waves into any other medium, doesn't matter which one it is, now that's called, it has the same din as a kol havara, as a new sound, a new echo, and you won't be yotze at all. The other extreme, the other side, is Igros Moshe, Chazanish, Shevet Alevi, Mikra Kodesh Tzvi Pesach Frank for non-shofar, for Rabbi Avad Yosef, Rav Asher Weiss, Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Salavechik. So all these poskim say Mikar Adin, we think it's the same as the original sound. There's no difference, because it goes by what do we consider, right? We don't look at microscopes and we don't look at sound waves in halacha. We say, what is it considered? Everyone always, everyone knows that when you speak on the phone, there might be a delay, right? But everyone knows, or a microphone, but everyone says, that's his sound. Right now, he's singing. It's not a recording. Everyone considers it live. It's called live stream, right? Everyone considers it live. It's basically sounds the same. It's basically instantaneous. Even sound waves are not instantaneous, right? So the poskim basically say, it seems to be, it works. And however, they all basically end off by saying that it's not lo barua davar, in the words of Igros Moshe, vu inyan chidush, and it's something, it's a new thing. In other words, there's no real source in halacha of any kind to prove one way or another. So they basically all say it's usur to use any of these phones, hearing aids, or anything. They all basically agree it's usur if you don't need it. If you can get around by taking off your hearing aids, unless it's bishat adchak. If it's cases of bishat adchak, they'll basically all say, for sure, use any of these methods. But if it's not, it's not. And then obviously, every posek is going to be a little bit, on the totem pole, or on the scale, of how much, what you call bishat adchak, and how much you have to worry about it. Everyone's going to have a little bit of a different take on it. And not very convincing, but I'll just point out two real quick svaras I saw. Rav Asher Weiss says it's a little bit similar to Shomea Ka'ona. Again, this is not Mukrach, but he says it's a little bit similar to Shomea Ka'ona, because we know the din of Shomea Ka'ona is your yotze, 100%, just by listening. And you and the other person have two different voices. So that's just, again, it's not really a proof, but it's just the same idea a little bit. Rav Yosef says it's a little bit like using dentures. You know you're allowed to daven wearing dentures, and there's no difference if it's teeth or a piece of plastic. And in other words, but it's the same concept. It's really based on the same as what do we normally consider the initial speech. And I think, should we just stop? We'll stop. All right.
Go ahead.